In the world of Lyrica and the Indrian Empire, the use of Hextech is prominent. Ruins speckled with mysterious obelisk spires covered in impression and runes that no one fully understands. At Seaborn Academy of the Arcane and Creative Studies, one of the 13 rival academies in the nation, four third-year students are placed in a team to go to their first official adventure. Will Sibia, Iggy, Prince Rabfaz, Zoop, and her companion Alfredo the Duck be able to solve the mystery, or will they die before they get a chance? You have to listen to find out. Last week, everybody wakes up after sleeping in the same room. Iggy had the same nightmare as always, and Zoop woke up having a nightmare, and so did Rab. Rab described his dream of vegetable soup, though, and Zoop started to describe the same exact nightmare that Iggy has been having for months, to the point where at the end, Iggy interrupted and said, "Do you mean like this?" and showed the painting that she had been working on for the last 2 hours while everybody else was sleeping. She then got yelled at by Sibia, who got upset that she didn't share, and Sibia has been asking. Iggy let slip that someone was giving her the nightmare and was tired and anxious, so she didn't hide it well. And Rab, with his natural 20 insight, catches on that something is being hidden. Finally, it's brought out that they can't freak out, but she's a warlock, but it's not her fault. She doesn't know who her patron is. She also explains Q, her imaginary friend, who only Sibia knows about. We all go downstairs. As Brig and Elder are talking, or the Elder eventually comes over and talks to us about what's going on around town, found out the mother of Buttmunch has been dubbed, and the wife of the Lord died, and now the Lord has been doting even more on his son. Told we will be paid 1,000 gold pieces if we can convince the Lord to continue to pay after last night. Which, for those who don't remember, last night we kind of beat up the guy a lot after he threatened us and was being rude to a woman that worked there. We go to the Tinkerer and buy 4 healing potions. Iggy buys 2, 1 for Sibia and 1 for Zoop, and we can come back for new items tomorrow. We describe the quarry to Rab. Evidently, Bugtrum is next to the Black Marsh, where hags and troll named Black Porridge lives. But we're not going that way. We were just made aware of it. As we're traveling, we notice a white iridescent shimmering goat running alongside us several hundred yards away that keeps blinking in and out of existence to one side and the other. Eventually, we lost sight of it. We were very curious, but had no idea what the fuck to ask or how to talk to it and all that stuff. Then we see the red fog, and we see movement within the red fog. And this reminds, I believe this reminded Iggy of her nightmare. Yeah? Yeah. We spot 7 to 12 shapes in the fog below the roof lines. There are 2 points on the edge where the fog is more dense, and the further away it's being dissipated. The entrance area is on the other side where we need to go. So leaving the horse and cart at the top, we all go inside. I believe Rab is flying above.
Yep, on a little beetle. Yep, a little mechanized and I believe, beetle thing. Yeah.
And we all had to make a wisdom saving throw, which Sibia and Iggy failed. Even though it was a 17 on the die, which is some bullshit. And we were frozen in the middle of fog, and we lose one of the highest levels of spell slot. And then something creepy was said at some point at the end. Think about eating us or something. I don't remember. I blocked it out of my memory because it was too scary.
Yeah. Is Rob flying above the fog, or are you flying?
I think I'm in the fog with the, yeah, because I did make the saving throw as well, right? Because that was okay. Entering the fog. Yeah.
All right. So the party traverses through this strange fog that has appeared at Vugtrum Mine. It's very difficult to see through this reddish tinted mist that appears to churn and swirl all around you. You can even catch moments when there seems to be a mystic spark that ignites in the fog, and for a moment, then it disperses and then ripples out into this mysterious looking fog. Not long after you have ventured forth, all of you begin to feel a strong presence in your minds, causing confusion and your thoughts to overlap. Rob Vaz and Zoop quickly shake off the effects, but Sibia and Iggy immediately freeze in place, unable to speak or move. Then all of a sudden, then all of a sudden, you all start to see shapes in the fog in front of you. You hear screaming, laughter, crying, snarling, and growling, and then the occasional howl from some creatures in the mist that say, "Kill, kill."
That's what it was. Not eat, kill.
I mean, same. I mean, possibly they're going to eat us.
Awesome. They kill PTSD us. PTSD episode right now with Iggy as she's frozen and reimagining her nightmare, but in reality.
So amidst all of this commotion in front of you, you begin to see several figures out in your pathway. Sibia and Iggy have now fallen frozen, and Rob and Zoop, what are you going to do?
Okay, probably swear a lot. I'm like, oh crap, oh yeah. And I'm going to probably cast Spirit Guardians and ask Zoop to try and wake the others up.
By like, shaking them?
Yeah, yeah, just shake them, just do something. I mean, I don't know. And I'll send forth my shimmering goblin ghosts from my power glove.
Okay.
Just to surround us.
And it's just surrounding you in this area.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it moves with me, yeah. So it's 15 foot around.
Okay. And Zoop, are you doing anything as Iggy and Sibia have frozen in place?
I think Zoop is just going to be, like, trying to, like, tug them and trying, like, to see if they, like, respond or can, like, even move forward.
Okay.
Just, like, grabbing their arms and being like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they can move of their own volition. They are larger than you, so you can attempt to pull them along and drag them, but it's almost like they are paralyzed in place. A few seconds pass by, and then you notice that the commotion in front of you is slowly moving towards you. It is pretty slow, and then you kind of hear some shuffling along the dirt path, but it appears to be slowly coming towards you.
Okay, so is this a group of creatures, or is it a single creature as far as I can tell?
Go ahead and make a perception check at disadvantage as you're looking through this densely, heavily obscured area.
I'll make a roll as well.
How do you get disadvantage on
him? Oh, never mind. I got a nat one, so there's no point in rolling again. I got a nat one plus four.
Yeah, I got
five,
a two.
Yeah, so we're just we're not seeing anything.
Yeah, it appears that it could be three creatures. It might be 15. You're not really sure. It looks like they're kind of like grouped all together. So you kind of see like maybe there's three groupings, but each grouping looks kind of larger than what it could be.
Hey, Sibia, Iggy, are you guys? Zoop's like tugging on them, like trying to pull them, but she is like smaller than them by a considerable amount. They are not moving. She's like, Rob.
Okay. Rob. Yeah, right. And I'll kind of swoop down on my little beetle, and I'm going to touch Sibia and cast Lesser Restoration.
Ooh, very nice. Okay, with the casting of Lesser Restoration, Sibia, your motor faculties come back. You're able to move again. This confusion that's been around your brain and just caused you to freeze in place is lifted by the spell, and you're able to move and speak again.
Sophia's gonna like stumble forward and be like, "Hell's bells, God!
You're in a bloody tight spot. There's loads of creatures coming towards us."
Oh God!
Guys, don't worry. And then Zoop, after seeing what Rob did, is going to grab Iggy's arm and also cast Lesser Restoration.
Perfect. All right. Yay. Iggy, your paralysis has now ended, so you are able to move and speak freely again. And in front of you, the shapes begin to take form more and more as they are coming closer. You can probably tell that they might be between 30 and 40 feet from you, and they're slowly getting closer. So what does the group do?
Can we tell if they're dwarves or somehow possessed dwarves? Or are they just creatures, something even more horrible?
A lot of them do seem, most of them actually, most of the shapes do appear to be shorter. A few of them appear that they might be a little bit taller, but most of the shapes appear dwarvish in size.
Where is the most amount blocked up in a 20 foot by 20 foot square?
You could probably hit quite a few of them if you were trying to get them in a 20-foot square.
Okay. I'm going to cast Fairy Fire.
Okay.
On whoever is in the most amount of people I can hit. So that way we can actually have a chance because we can see them a little bit better.
Okay. All right. Let me go ahead.
So I will, like, lift up my hand and hold on, is this a warlock or a fucking... No, this is my drow spell. Cool. So I just look at them and I like point and I like draw a square with my paintbrush and then I snap my fingers and a rainbow aura covers all of them. Whoever fails.
Okay. All right. So we'll make wisdom saves for...
Dex save.
Dexterity saves?
Yeah. DC okay. 15.
All right. Dexterity 15. All right. We'll make dexterity saves for all of them. I'm going to have to get a piece of paper.
Piece of paper.
He's kidding.
It's like I knew that was coming from somewhere. My brain's like, piece of paper, and that's not how it works.
I think these might be the miners. We've got to be careful. I mean, they might be possessed or something.
I'm just making them glow so they're easier to see.
Yeah,
and we can figure out whether or not they are miners.
That's true, but at some point we might have to, you know, hit them lots and make them fall over. She's never good for your health.
All right, so at the end of your casting, where this rainbow light forms around this mass group of creatures in front of you, you notice 9 shimmering outlines of creatures. And then you notice that one of them kind of has been able to maneuver their way around this glitter bomb of fairy fire.
Glitter bomb is the best description of how she would cast it. Yes.
So you notice that there's a possibility of 10 creatures that are moving towards you. As they get closer, you just notice all of this screaming and laughter and crying. And then amidst all of the snarling and growling, they're just saying, kill, kill. Now they're getting closer and closer. Are you going to do anything before... I'll give you one thing else that you can do before they are upon you.
So, from what I can tell, do they look as if they're some kind of creature, or do they look as if they're possessed, or they're just influenced by something nasty?
Let's see. Go ahead and make...
Arcana?
Make an Arcana check.
Oh! Well, 13. It's not bad.
13.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility that they could be influenced by something. Their behavior is very abnormal, but as far as what is influencing them, there's kind of a lot going on, so you're not sure exactly what it is, but it's a possibility that they could be influenced.
Okay. I don't think what I'm planning will work.
I cast Spike Growth.
Spike Growth. And what does Spike Growth look like for Zoop?
Zoop is going to essentially pull out an arrow, notch it, and then the tip of the arrow glows in a very brilliant green light, and she's going to fire it. It's not going to hit anything. In fact, it's going to go straight towards the ground of where they're walking. But when it impacts the ground, the green light bursts, and then vegetation and thorns and hard spikes like whisks out and spreads out. And basically she's trying to stop them from wanting to move, in hopes that because they're getting damaged as they walk through, they're getting hurt, they're not mm-hmm. gonna, or maybe whatever it is will snap them out and they'll be able to hopefully reason with them. Or if they're in it for the kill, then at least they're damaged.
Okay. All right, perfect. So as these spiky thorns burst from the ground, let's see here, what is the radius for that? A 20-foot radius?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, a 20-foot radius pretty much covers where they are and then kind of past them. So this whole area just grows spiky thorn vegetation in front of them. And at this point, I'll go ahead and have all of you roll initiative for me. 15 to 20? 10 to 15?
Got 14.
5 to 10?
Got an 8.
Got a 7.
Got a 5.
And
oh,
then,
God.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we can all act together. It's good.
Great. No, yes.
I was going to roll for my imaginary friend, but of course, she technically can't attack yet. Never mind.
All right. So, starting off, there's about 6 or 7 creatures that are moving towards you very slowly. The spike growth, let's see here. It's going to become difficult terrain, and they're going to move through it for every 10 feet. So they're going to move 10 feet towards you out of their movement, and they're going to take 2d4 per 5 feet. So go ahead and roll 4d4 for me, and then I will go ahead and apply that to all of their...
Are they within 10 feet of us now? How close are they?
They're about 30 feet away from you now.
Oh, they're just moving super slow.
Yeah, they are slow.
They all take 6 damage.
6 damage?
Maybe we can just, like, you know, avoid them. I mean, if they're that slow.
All right, so they are moving through the spike growth and they kind of stop on the edges of it. They are approximately 20 feet away from you now, and now you can kind of see them more clearly. You can kind of see out of the mist as they emerge. You see figures dressed in kind of regular miner clothes, but their skin is kind of pale and grayish. It looks like there's deformities that have formed on their limbs, and most of them look to be very malnourished. As they are getting closer, you notice that their eyes are completely black, save for the pupils that are like a bead of red that emits kind of like a glow. And you just notice that some of them are just like laughing. They look like they have a blank face, but they're laughing. Some of them are crying, just like they sound like they're sobbing, but they have blank faces. And others are screaming and just shouting, kill, kill. All right, so these seven creatures are approximately 20 feet away from you. And Zoop, it's your turn.
There's no way to go around them, right? We're going to have to go through them.
Let's see here. All right, so right now, as the fog is kind of permeated, you did pass by what looks like a stables on your left, and then you pass by what could have been a house that was on your right. You're going to more of an opening clearing of the pathway where there were a few of the roof lines for some buildings. If you wanted to try and skirt around to the left and go into the mist and around the building, the stable building, you can. But as far as continuing going north, you will have to follow the path into this larger opening where the creatures are, where you've cast your spike.
Right. That's going to stay there for 10 minutes. Okay. I think Zoob's just going to try and knock him unconscious through physical combat. I think she's just going to say, like, if you guys have any wise ideas, like, just tell me. I'd love to hear them. But for now, like, they want to kill us, and I'm not about to let that happen. And she's going to cast Hail of Thorns, which is basically...
And you're keeping concentration on spike growth, correct?
Oh, shoot. Then I can't
is Hail of Thorns a concentration spell?
Yeah, shoot. Never mind then. If they move again, they'll still take... They're not out of it, right? Okay.
They're not out of it. There's 10 more feet that they have to move through the spike growth, and then 10 feet of open pathway before they get to you.
Gotcha. Okay, then she'll just keep it on. Yeah, then I'll... Okay, so then Zoop will fire a longbow, and that's a 10 to hit. Did she hit?
10 to hit.
You might have advantage on one of them.
Yes, you do have advantage now that you can see them a little bit more clearly. They're closer, within 20 feet of you.
Okay.
So you have advantage on it. So go ahead and
roll.
No,
I got 10 again. You know what? That's
okay.
Fine.
A 10 will hit, so go ahead and roll damage.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to be 6 piercing damage.
Okay.
And then Zoop will also mark that as a favored foe. So basically, well, no, that's another concentration. Never mind, she can't do that. Nope, never mind. And then she'll just fire another arrow at the same individual. And that's a 26 to hit. Okay. So
yep,
then, and now that's a 5 damage. So she's done. Alfredo's just going to stay on her back. He's not going to.
Okay.
No. She's going to tell me to stay there.
Refiring at the same, at
yes.
the same creature or at a different one?
At the same creature.
Okay. As both of these arrows impact the creature, you notice that it doesn't even seem to phase them. It just like boom, boom, and then it just keeps trying to move forward. There's no reaction, no yelp or scream or anything. It just continues to snarl and growl as you move forward.
Wow.
All right.
That's not a good sign.
Are you going
to
move?
Zoop will move away from them. So she's going to try and run back to the house that they passed on the right.
Okay. All right. 30 feet towards you. Once you move about 10 feet away from them, you can't see them as clearly through the mist.
Gotcha.
They are still illuminated, but anything past 20 feet is heavily obscured within this fog. So you'll be firing any ranged attacks at disadvantage.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll know what I'll do. Okay. Cool. I know what I'll do. Okay, cool. Thank you. Next
All
turn,
right.
I got a plan. Yay!
All right. And Iggy, you're up.
Guys, what about that reed thing that we were given?
We are still got that. Yeah.
Maybe that will help somehow, because Azulwin got it from his visit, and they were given it to give. They think it's important, so maybe we can use that. Is it like an instrument?
Well, there's some buttons on it. I don't know.
Can I see it?
I'm gonna play with it. Sure. Okay.
Drop it. Catch.
All right. So I guess for your free actions for both Rob and Iggy, you can hand over the rod. As you're pulling it out, Rob, both of you hear that it is emitting a slight hum.
Oh, interesting.
Does it get louder as it comes closer to me?
Not as it comes closer to you. No, it seems...
towards people.
You're wafting it out towards you?
Yeah.
Okay, so as you're wafting it out towards you, go ahead and make a perception check for me.
This is my action.
You can do it as a bonus action.
Okay, cool. That is a 21.
21? Okay, there is a slight change in the hum. You notice that it gets slightly louder as it goes closer to the direction that you are pointing the rock.
Is it towards the creatures or towards like the more dense areas or towards the where we're leading to?
You kind of ascertain that it's towards the area that you are going in. As you're moving it around, it kind of seems like it's more towards the northwest, which you would have seen and now understand is the Black Marsh area.
Okay.
So not the mine entrance, then. It's the opposite.
Not necessarily towards the mine entrance, but in that same direction. The mine entrance goes off towards the east, and the area where the Black Marsh is to the west, but still in the north direction.
Okay. I'll hold that in my hand for now, then. I was hoping it'd be like a flute, and I could just Pied Piper this shit, because that would have been funny as fuck.
Yeah, that would have been.
I think it's some kind of, I don't know, control rod or wand with, I mean, it's got a few buttons on it, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Has it got more than one button?
How many buttons are there?
Yeah.
Let's see.
So I have been studying this, or I was the night before we left, so.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but here's what I'll say.
That means only one button's important.
Or if they
press the right one, press the right one.
Maybe it's just not important at all.
There might be about 16 buttons. Yeah.
Does it look like a flute?
Is there a menu button?
You know what? Iggy, as you're looking at it and you're like, wait a minute, that might actually like be some sort of wind instrument.
I can play the flute.
I'm
gonna try to play it like a flute.
You're gonna try to play it?
Like a flute, yeah.
Okay, this will be your action.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't want to kill them, so I'm trying, like, I'll move away from them a little bit and then, like, start playing it as a Pied Piper flute.
Okay, it looks like it probably gets held out in front of you. The rod does come to a taper at the end. It doesn't look like there's any sort of reed or hole to, like, actually blow in. You're trying to press some of the buttons and blow into this metal rod. It doesn't emit any sound. But you do notice as you're holding it, it's like, yeah, this actually could be some sort of musical instrument if I found where it's supposed to go.
Okay, cool. Guys, I think it's a musical instrument, but it's not going to help us now. It'll help us later. But now we know. So yeah. I got you, maybe. I can probably teach it to myself after we don't die. Cool? Cool.
I can probably do that. Says the bard.
Well, yes, you could probably do it too. So one of us can play the instrument, and then that's a later problem. Like, it's pointing to the Black Marsh.
Maybe it's part of some enormous, like, organ. Wait, no, we've got no time to talk about this. All right.
Nope.
All right, so Sibia, your turn.
It sure is my turn.
Trying to discover what this rod is.
It's the perfect time. Don't question.
Sibby is just gonna hop back and forth from like one hoof to the other. I don't know what to do if we're not trying to kill these guys, because...
Well, I'm definitely gonna try and kill these guys, because they're gonna try and kill us.
Zip's just like awkwardly like hiding, like, yeah, you can't, we're not trying to kill them, right?
Incapacitate?
We're just trying to put them to sleep. They're just gonna sleep. It's fine.
I can only cast this on one of them, and that's even if it's going to work. But I'm going to cast Suggestion. They have to make a Wisdom saving throw.
A Wisdom saving throw. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what suggestion are you giving them, though? What are you telling them to do?
What suggestion are you giving?
I can only cast it on one creature, so that's the thing. I can't cast it on the group. So I'm going to pick at least one of them and just be like, hold on, stop.
Okay.
And that's my suggestion.
Suggestion to stop.
Yes.
I can
What a move.
She, can I offer some possible advice that it may not backfire completely? That well, she may sure. know if she's casted this before?
Ooh. I don't know. Sure. Are we going to get a chance?
Suggestion is once they do the action, they no longer have to do it.
Oh, right. Mm. That yeah. is.
So you can give them up to a sentence or two of right. something you want them to do. And then once they finish or concentration breaks, then they can come back.
So a better way to phrase that on the one that I am trying to tell is go back from where you came. At least they'll have okay. to head backwards somewhere.
Okay, go back from where you came. All right. Oh my gosh, that rolled really high. Okay, what's your spell, DC?
14.
Okay, well, even with a negative modifier, they save by one.
What? Why are they so smart?
But what you do notice is that something in the face kind of made them shift a little bit. Like there's still a possibility that they would have understood, but then their eyes begin to glow a little bit more. This type of confusion comes over them and they just laugh more and more maniacally as the spell kind of dissipates as they're able to shake off the suggestion.
Well, that didn't work, buddy.
I got an idea. We might not have to hurt them, but it's a long shot.
Sibia, anything else that you want to do with your bonus action?
I don't really think I have a usable bonus action that's helpful here. I am going to try and kind of use my movement to back up further, though.
Okay, so as you back up kind of towards Zoop, you do notice that the fog is now heavily obscuring where those creatures are. You can still see that they're outlined, but you can't see them as clearly as you were as before. All right, Rob, you are up.
I could try and hurt them, and I've just cast this Spirit Guardians, and I'm like, don't know if I really want to kill them, because these are the people we're supposed to meet, and they look like they're under some kind of ensorcelment. So I'm going to try this. It's a long shot, but it might just work. I'll use my power glove, and this projection of pinkish light covers a whole group of them ahead of me, like a 20-foot radius. So I'm going to try and get as many of them in as possible. Just guys, like, just stay where you are. Calm down. Nobody wants to get hurt here. I'm going to cast Calm Emotions on them.
Calm Emotions, okay.
Suppresses strong emotions in a group of people. They need to make a DC 16 charisma saving throw. It can choose to fail a saving throw if it wishes. If it does, you can suppress an effect causing the target to be charmed or frightened when this spell ends, and it only lasts for a minute, but...
Charmed or frightened, okay.
Alternatively, I can make them indifferent.
Okay, okay. All right, so you'll with that radius, you'll be able to hit all of them. So I'll go ahead and roll their saves. And your spell save DC?
16. I'm burning through my spell slots today.
So as you finish casting your spell through the power glove, you notice that all of the creatures, including the ones kind of more out in the distance, as you've hit all of them, they just kind of stop moving. They're still active, but it's almost like something in them has been triggered to stop their advance. You notice that they're no longer growling and snarling, and you don't hear any of them saying, kill, anymore. So it seems like something has been suppressed in them, like that base layer of emotion has been suppressed within them. Is that a concentration spell? How long does that last?
It is a concentration spell. It lasts for 1 minute. In fact, I'm going to say that. This is only going to last for a minute. We have to get out of here.
Okay. All right. And your spirit guardians are concentration as well, right?
They've disappeared, yeah.
Okay. So spirit guardians have disappeared, and you've noticed that there's a stillness of movement within them. So what are you all going to do now? We'll say at the top of the round, Zoop.
Yeah. But as my move action, I am going to fly over them a bit towards where we're kind of heading towards, just so I can start getting that way. But I'll be telling people that, yeah, we have to get past them. Actually, I might wait actually to see if Zoop wants a ride on the beetle, because I can carry one other person.
Waves, hello, take me. Sorry.
All right, so Rob, are you going to pick up Zoop?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll fly to Zoop and be ready to go.
And are you going to fly within the mist or above it?
Well, I guess if we can, I'll fly above it, but I need to keep track of the others. So actually, to be honest, it's probably safer if I don't.
If you go above it, you won't be able to see Sibia or Iggy.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't be able to see them, but you can avoid getting in the mist or the fog.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I feel like I've already, you know, resisted it, so and I don't want to lose track of the others because we're heading towards the mine, right? So, or wherever you guys want to go, I'm not sure. Well, so where are we going now?
All right. So are all of you going to just run in the direction of the mine entrance at this point?
I was just, are the spike things still?
Oh yeah, you better take them spikes away.
I was like, I'm not running anywhere yet.
I can cast another. I was gonna cast another. Don't worry, I was gonna cast a different thing that was gonna resolve pretty much all of these problems. But
okay, the spike growth is still there. If you want to keep concentration on it as you're flying with Rob through the mist, that's fine. Sibia and Iggy, if you wanted to skirt around the spike growth and the creatures, you could go to your right and around this grouping of bushes and low growing trees, and then go around the spike growth to find the path again.
Okay, while we're doing that, I'm going to grab onto Sibia's arm, and I'm going to try desperately just to start trying to get a hold of my patron and be like, can you fucking please explain what you wanted me here for? We're here now. The fuck is happening? Please give me some goddamn answer.
Okay, let's see here. Go ahead and make an Arcana check.
12.
Okay, so Q kind of appears beside you and she says, don't worry, I'm here with you. It'll all be fine. We'll find answers together.
I know you're always here with me, Q. I appreciate that. I'm trying not to say, but the other actual patron might have answers. But I'm thinking it, which is bad because she could probably read my mind. So.
All right. So as you're traveling, you go for, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Zoop, are you going to remain with concentration on your spike growth?
No. In fact, I'm going to put Alfredo on Sibia's back and cast Beast Sense. And then because Alfredo's willing. And so then now I'm concentrating on Alfredo. And what that does is that I can see through Alfredo's eyes and I can hear what Alfredo hears.
Okay.
And so then I'm like, don't worry, I got us. And then Zoop's like, don't worry, Rob, I've got eyes on Sibia and Iggy. As long as Iggy doesn't split up from Sibia and Alfredo, just keep going. And I've got my eyes closed and like burying my face in my hands because I'm just like concentrating on what Alfredo is.
Okay.
You don't weigh more than 200 pounds as a hobbit. I'm pretty sure I don't.
A 200 pound halfling is be quite the feat.
So I think that means that we are under the 200 pound limit, so we can fly at 50 foot around at the moment.
Okay. So you rise up to 50 feet. You're clear of the fog at that height. Zoop, you can concentrate on what Alfredo sees as Iggy and Sibia are moving forward, continuing north. As far as you can tell, Sibia and Iggy, the entrance to the mine is probably several minutes away. And if you run straight there, you could probably get through this fog a little bit quicker, or you can just take it a little bit slower and walk there. And so that's up to you. Would you like to run or walk?
Actually, wait a second. If this can carry up to 400 pounds, could they just hang on to my beetle and I can fly all of us over there? Admittedly, it'll be at 30 foot around, but that's
actually... We can run at 60 foot around, so I think we can just...
Yeah, I was going to say, my movement walking speed is 35, so like I should be... Okay.
You'll just have to slow down a little bit so I can keep up.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to...
Okay, so as you're moving towards the mine entrance, Iggy and Sibia, I will need you to make two more wisdom saves for me.
Of course.
God damn it.
I knew it. I should have known. I was
you should have flown. Oh, well.
You've stayed in the fog longer, so instead of making five checks, I'll have you make two checks.
Okay, first one is a 19.
Okay, all right, so there's these overlapping of thoughts, this confusion that suddenly hits you. You kind of feel like a draining of energy almost, and then it kind of dissipates. You're able to shake that off, all right?
You pinched me.
My first roll is also a 19.
19, okay, and the same for you, Sibia. So as you continue booking it to the north, go ahead and make your second save.
I got 13.
Oh, 13. Fuck.
Okay.
I got a 21.
21? Okay, so Sibia, you're able to shake off that confusion again, but Iggy, I will need you to roll a d10 for me.
5.
5? Okay. Mm-hmm. And Sibia, you notice that Iggy just kind of mid-stride, she just freezes in place and is unable to move or speak once more. And once again, if you have a third level spell slot, then you will lose your third level.
My second level. That's my highest.
Okay. All right. Your second level is the highest. So then you'll lose your luck. Second. Yeah. You'll use your.
Great. I have level. No more second level spots.
All right, Sibia. So you've noticed that Iggy has stopped dead in her tracks. Not dead. All right. But stopped and frozen in her tracks.
Freezing, please.
She's immediately going to, because I mean, she was holding onto her arm and I'm assuming like running. So like with her stopping, she knows that she stopped. And so she's going to immediately turn and go, oh, God damn. And she's going to literally attempt to take her and like kind of try to just like, I don't know, try to throw her across her like back.
Pick her up.
And pick her up and like continue.
All right. I think both of you are probably the same relative height and size. So you can pick her up and then move at half speed as she's kind of frozen. You can still like relatively move her limbs around. It's not like it's stone trying to move her arm or her leg. So you can lift her up. It's just Iggy doesn't have any control over her motor functions right now. And you continue on, and Zoop, through the eyes of Alfredo, you are now noticing that Sibia has picked up Iggy and is moving slowly towards the end of the fog area here.
I forgot about Alfredo for a second. I've just got Alfredo and a person.
Yeah, I imagine that like you kind of hoofed Iggy over your shoulder, and now Alfredo kind of like flapped his wings and is now on your head.
Horns, in on my horns, on your horn afro. Yeah. in the frohawk.
I relay it. I'm like, oh shoot, I think the fog's got Iggy. The fog, Sibia's hauling.
Do you think she'd go back in and grab them? I mean, they can hang on. Well, I don't know.
No, I don't.
They're too small. Too small to help.
Yeah, and also we already snapped them out of the fog before, so. Oh, shoot. Is there a way we can talk? Because I can't talk to them. And I can't tell. I can't ask if they need our help through Alfredo.
Use the quack code. Like, 2 quacks for yes, 1 for no or something.
How will Alfredo know the code? How will Alfredo know the code?
How will anyone know the code?
From your height, Rob, you do notice you can now see the cliff face in front of you where the gates of the mine has been carved out of the cliff face. It's not that far away, and then most of the fog has been dissipated away from the mine entrance, and it's dissipating out in this direction. So if they were to travel even at a slow pace for a little bit longer, they'd probably be out of the fog.
Okay. Well, I'm going to fly forward, because obviously we can go at 50 feet around. Well, actually 100 if we do a double move, but I'm going to try and cast a minor illusion just of a big version of me, which is only about twice the size, kind of like standing there shining as a beacon to Sibia to head towards.
Okay. Your minor illusion can glow like a beacon in the fog. And so Sibia, you can see some sort of light out in the distance of the fog that is shining bright. You can't really tell what it is because it's too foggy, but there is something out there that is glowing now.
Somewhere out there.
There's a big glowing goblin.
There's nowhere else to head towards, so that's where she's gonna continue literally hoofing it to.
Okay. It's some slow pace, and after about a minute, Iggy, you begin to get some more of your motor functions back, and you're able to move. You're not completely out of the fog yet, but you're able to move now. And since you've been traveling at half pace, Sibia, you'll need to make another wisdom save.
I got this. I...
Oh!
Oh, hell yeah. Another 19.
Perfect. All right, that saves. And so now with motor functions and speaking functions back for Iggy and Sibia, you've kind of shaken off this confusion that you've felt from the fog. You're able to burst through this reddish tinted fog into this clearing and opening of the pathway.
That was so annoying.
Hearing that, she's going to realize that she's starting to move around and kind of like sets her down so that Alfredo can readjust. And she's going to shake herself off and be like, oh my God, thank God I just do a bunch of squats every morning.
So Zoop and Rob, you now see that Sibia and Iggy have made it through the fog and in this patch of clearing out towards the front of the mine entrance.
Come back. Oh man, that was a close one.
Alfredo, come back!
Alfredo will fly up to Zoop if you're not going to land anytime soon, but he starts flying.
Oh, I will land. Yeah, I've landed outside the mine.
So you meet in the middle, and yes. It's just like a hug in the air as you're as you're meeting each other.
Zoop's like, oh, you're so good. You're the best boy.
As the four of you have now grouped, or the five of you have now grouped here together, this dirt road has now opened up wider, and you can now see the outline of a tall cliff face in front of you. There are two buildings on either side of the road here. Three railway tracks you can see, one that goes in the center of the road and one that goes to either of the buildings on each side. And then the mist seems to be dispersing around this area, and now you can see this immense solid iron double gate. Flanking the two iron doors are two large stone statues carved from the cliff face, depicting dwarven warriors. Each holds a warhammer that rests on a pedestal on the ground. Chains are fashioned from each of the pedestal to a gear and then to the doors.
Well, I think, do we have to pull those warhammers to get it open?
Pull out the reed again.
Okay, you pull out the flute rod. It seems to be humming a little bit louder now that you've traveled a little bit farther north. And what you noticed before is that if you kind of face more towards the west where the Black Marsh is, the humming gets a little bit louder. If you're facing it out towards the east or behind you, it seems to not get as loud.
Okay, maybe your option works better. I just really want to play this instrument or have Sibia play because she'll rock it, but
It's like my one thing.
I'm better at painting than I only know how to play the flute very minimally.
She's gonna take the rod slash we're just gonna call it the flute now.
The flute, okay.
I think it's more like a clarinet, isn't it? But metal.
Yeah, it's more like a recorder. It looks kind of more like a recorder or clarinet. It's like if a reed instrument was made of solid metal.
I actually have a clarinet made of solid metal except for the reed.
That's crazy. I've never seen one. It's pretty cool.
It doesn't sound good.
Does it look a bit like the pipe on like a pipe organ? Because they're a bit like that, like a long piece of metal with a little bit of like the recorder bit in it. Is it a bit like that?
Yeah, like on the tip of the instrument, it's tapered out to, you would technically put it on your lip. But there isn't like a hole on the top of it where there would normally be a hole, like for a recorder or a clarinet to blow wind through.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like there's anything like that. But it looks like when you put it up to your mouth, it's like, yeah, that it makes sense. It's comfortable enough to say this feels like a wind instrument.
So Sabine's going to pocket that real quick.
Okay. As both of you are kind of looking at the flute and kind of trying to see how the hum is affected by direction, the two of you do notice that that pure white ram that you saw earlier in the day is out towards the west of town. You can just kind of see the shimmering. It's almost like it can be seen through the dispersing fog. It's out towards the area where you are aware of Black Marsh is.
Why is the ram back?
Are we supposed to go that way? I feel a very strong sense that we're going the wrong way now or something.
I always thought that the mine would be where they found whatever did this to them, but maybe it was out in the marsh.
There's a very glowy thing, and I want to follow it, and I don't know if it's a trap.
Wasn't that like part of our lessons? Always or never follow the glowy things? I wasn't paying attention.
That's the problem. I'm like, is this a trap? Are we going to die because we followed a very iridescent, shiny goat?
Well, of all the people that should be an expert around here on goats, it's probably you. So what do you think?
I'm going to be very biased in wanting to follow the shiny, shiny goat.
It's very shiny.
If we get close enough and we talk to the goat, I'll be able to do that so we can figure out if it's a trap or not.
I don't think it's going to tell us it's a trap.
If we ask really nicely.
Are you a trap? No? Okay, cool. We'll follow you.
Are you trying to trick us? Well, actually, I do have a spell that can detect that, to be honest, if it is trying to trick us. But yeah.
I mean, I have Zone of Truth, but...
Yeah, same.
Let's follow the goat.
Let's follow the goat. Screw the hammers. We can come back to the hammers. Well, I feel like there's very...
Goat.
Goat, goat.
There's this mine, which is probably full of untold treasures of the ancient world, you know, and then there's...
I don't think that's what we're supposed to... I also don't want those guys to catch back up with us or whatever is going on back there. We should probably figure out what we're doing and get going.
The thing is, we are officially here to save them blokes. You know, we're here to find out what happened to them. But I think this goat has something to do with it. I'm with you.
Well, the read points to Black
The four of you, go ahead and make perception checks for me.
Natural 20.
Oh, I got a 10.
It could be the reeds point towards the goat, not towards the...
No, it was pointing to the black
Iggy's
marsh.
Natural 20.
Yeah, so
Rob?
23 total.
I got a 19.
I'm sorry, 25 total.
Okay. Got a 13 somehow.
13 and Zoop.
10.
Okay. Iggy and Rob, as you're kind of looking around at the gates and then back towards the direction where you saw the ram, Iggy and Rob, you notice that on the pedestals, there seem to be like little holes on the pedestals. On the left side, they're empty, but on the right side, there seem to be these cylindrical things, I would say. A little bit too far away to see them, but there's three cylindrical objects that are protruding from the holes on the pedestals. You also notice that on the door, the iron door, there appears to be a few bodies in front of the door, and then there's some spattering of some darker color on the doors as well.
That's not a good sign. All right, before we go after the goat, I just want to go and take a look.
There's dead people over there, probably, and gore maybe, and then cylindrical weird thingies.
I wonder if it's more of them rods. I'm going to go over and take a look. What the hell?
Are you going towards the gate or towards the pedestals?
Towards the pedestals, yeah. Because I assume, okay. Aren't they in the same area? I thought they're next to each other. They're like flanking the gate, right?
Yeah, they're flanking the gate.
Yeah.
On the left pedestal, you notice that there's an inscription in runes on top of these six holes that are three on the top and three on the bottom. They're circle holes, and then they seem to go maybe 2 or 3 inches into the stone pedestal.
I am useful for this. I can read all written language.
Okay. All right. But
I know Goblin. I think Goblin's written in Dwarven. Yeah. So I can read Dwarven.
Funnily enough, I think Zoop also knows Dwarven.
Okay. So the people that can read Dwarvish read that the inscription says pass key. And then on the right pedestal, when you go over there, you notice that there are these three shafts that go into the holes. One is in the bottom left, one is in the middle, the bottom middle, and another one is in the top right. And then it appears that the warhammer for the one on the right is slightly lower than the one on the left.
So it's like a lever, by the look of it. The warhammers are levers. The rods that are in the right-hand side, they don't look like the rod that we've got. They're just...
No, they're much shorter, and it looks like you can take them out as well. It looks like they're just put in there as like a slot to go in.
Mm-hmm. Can any ideas? I mean, we could try taking the rods out of this one and putting them in the other side, and then pulling the warhammer, see if that works.
I vote we chase the goat.
Vote we chase the goat and come back to this puzzle, which will probably still be here. But
I just want to see what's inside these doors, because it may answer some of the questions we've got about what happened to these poor people.
Here's the problem, though. The people that are trying to kill us are like literally just over there. And obviously they can reach here because there's dead people. So...
All right, I'll be quick. I will grab the rods from one side and put them in the other and then try to
pull them. Everybody else just want to go chase the goat?
As you remove
those rods, the warhammer lifts up. It doesn't look like it's depressed anymore. It lifts up taller to match the same height as the one on the left. So now both of them are at the same height.
Okay. And when I put them on either side?
Which slots are you putting them in?
The same ones as they were on the right-hand side.
If you put them in the same slots that they were on the right hand side, they doesn't do anything.
Oh well, all right. Yeah, I'll put them back in the other side. Maybe we
in the same exact that. Position, you notice that the Warhammer depresses a little bit.
Mm. All right, I guess we'll come back to this then.
No time!
Go time! Sabia's literally, as soon as somebody else says go time, she's literally just going to start going towards where the goat is. Be like, come on, let's go! Goat adventure!
All right, so you're going to go out towards the direction that you last saw the goat. Or the ram. As you venture across the cliff face, you notice that the landscape turns to be a little bit more dead. The smell gets stronger of rot. And as you're traveling forth, you kind of hear more of the sound of running water. Travel for a few minutes, and then you get to a spot where the dry, hard-packed land has given way to kind of this swelching mud and brackish liquid. Short trees and wide canopies are dotting the landscape before you, covered in moss and vines. The smell of rot and dying plants wafts through the air, and you can see islands of reeds and tall grasses with ominous flowers peeking through. In some areas, bubbles begin to form and then pop, emitting a type of some sort of gurgle or gas. A chorus of insects and birds and frogs can be heard in the distance, with the occasional drip and babbling of the water through storm. Not too far from the path you have been following is a wooden dock with a large raft tied to it.
Does the reed point in that direction?
Tibby's going to pull the reed back out of her bag of holding and see that, if it does or not.
Yeah, so the humming gets louder as you are traveling in this direction, and then it's kind of, if you're facing it towards the interior of Black Marsh, it appears to get a little bit louder. As you're traveling, it just keeps getting slightly and slightly louder. The hum keeps getting slightly and slightly louder.
Can anybody else hear the hum, or is it just a person holding the reed?
Everybody can hear it.
Okay, cool.
So that way, just take the raft. Yeah.
And is there any sign of the goat?
Go ahead. Oh, yep. Yeah, you don't need to make perception checks. You do see that the goat is farther out into Black Marsh, and it appears that like it's walking, and then it disappears behind a tree, and then it appears, you know, between some reeds. For a moment, you kind of think that it might be walking on the liquid or the water. It might be walking on water, and then it disappears. But you see that it's going farther and farther into Black Marsh.
Mm. You know, if this is a trap, it's going to be worth it, because we'll finally get to like see the goat up close. I'm just saying.
I mean, you have heard of such things as will-o'-the-wisps, you know, luring people to their deaths in a swampy miasma and sucking their souls out. You know, it's not very pleasant. It's
well, we got the goat, and we have this is also humming at us in the same direction. So we got two things, not just the shiny goat, and it is not a bias. I'm just saying.
It's definitely a trap. Yeah. It's definitely a
trap. Class did we learn about the will-o'-wisp? Because I don't remember that one.
Oh, well, it's an ancient legend. I don't know if it's even true.
Oh, good, because I slept through it if that was in a class.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we know that we're going into a trap, we can't really be that upset.
I feel like we're all very aware. And on that note, I am also going to be, while paying attention to the hum and the goat, paying very close attention to our surroundings as we continue to travel to make sure we're not stumbling onto anything.
Yeah, I'll be looking out from a survival point of view, just make sure we don't enter any area that's going to sink or the swamp gas, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you guys can make perception or survival checks. It's relatively easy to, between the white ram and the hum of the reed instrument, you seem to be going in a direction that makes sense. As far as looking out around you, anybody, you can make perception or survival checks.
Wow. Okay.
Perception.
Do we think we're going to be on this raft for an hour so I can take a short rest?
Just conk out.
A whole hour. I hope this isn't an hour raft trip.
An hour raft ride.
I mean, you could attempt. I guess you could attempt to.
The worst Disneyland ride ever. The hour raft.
A perception.
Okay. Yeah, Iggy, if you want to try to take a nap, not a nap, but a rest, We can do that in 30 minutes to an hour as you're traveling along.
I just want to point out that the digital dice hate me because I have a +8 in perception and I don't think I've gotten, like, I keep rolling like a 3 and a 4.
Oh, nice. So
and I'm just like, how do I?
All right. So, Sabia, what'd you roll?
I only got an 11.
11? And
yeah, perception.
oh, sorry, I got 12.
I got 12. Okay.
27 survival.
27 survival. All right. So with your survival check, Rob, you do notice that as you're looking around, there do appear to be some drier patches of ground that you could probably find some footing on, but they seem to be pretty rare in this marshy area. It's a lot of this brackish water.
Well, we're planning to take the boat, aren't we? Yeah.
The other thing you notice is that there appears to be like more muddy areas within the water that begin to bubble and gurgle. With your survival check, I would say that you probably know that those are probably locations where you wouldn't want to get trapped in. They would probably pull you under.
Okay.
It'd be very hard to swim in that muddy type water.
Is it possible to use the boat to get through, do I think? As in, are the watery bits watery enough?
The path that you're following right now, it seems to all be waterway. So you're able to navigate some of the drier land areas and navigate in the direction where you hear the louder hum and as well as the white ram is kind of like being a little bit of a guide to you out in front of you.
So I'm going to try and avoid the gas, basically, and go there by boat and kind of mark.
Yeah, just you are kind of now aware that maybe where these pockets of bubbles are probably not the best to put to go through with the raft. Mm-hmm. All right. So as you're traveling, all of you are traveling through the marsh, you begin to see a little bit more of the bubbles around your boat. And then underneath the water surface, you begin to see a little bit more movement. And then all of a sudden, 10 creatures dripping with mud burst from the water and cling to the edges of the raft. Giggling and laughing, they precariously begin to pull the raft down into the water. And then they begin to chant, "What do we like to eat? What's our favorite meal?" And they just continue to chant, "What do we like to eat? What's our favorite meal?" And they're just laughing and giggling.
I'm not trying to rest.
Sabia's
not
like,
us.
Is it a hoof? Is it a hoof? Because she's literally just immediately going to strike out with a hoof to whatever, wherever their little hands or whatever are that are trying to grasp the raft. It's going to try and stomp on the thingies.
You're going to try to stomp them?
Yeah, well, okay, hands, so not their face, just like, you know, wherever they're trying to pull it down into.
Yeah, so as you, like, try to stomp down, you, like, their hand kind of sucks back into their bodies, and then it, like, kind of forms around, like, and then this, like, muddy hand kind of comes out and be like, "Wow, that was really rude. We're just trying to ask you a question or else we'll pull you under."
Then answer it. Okay, it's not us. Your favorite food is not us.
I like, you know... Like a fried beetle chips.
What's their favorite food?
Okay.
Have you ever tried fried beetle chips? They're delicious. I've got a couple of them.
We'll give you 3 chances.
Oh God, 3 chances.
Okay.
Not us.
Not us is the incorrect question answer.
Zoop immediately like curls up in shame.
I'm assuming it's us then. Humanoids.
I'm not a humanoid.
We not like to eat other humanoids. Only one answer left.
We only have one try left.
Yeah, it's a logical fallacy. It's either us or not us. It's one of them, isn't it?
So I'm trying to persuade them that they're fucking up.
Okay, I see. Okay, so go ahead and make a persuasion roll because that wasn't the right answer. But maybe they'll give you another go because yes, it's technically not us.
Technically, you're right. So I mean, just saying.
Yeah.
Big brain plays.
22 persuasion.
22. Okay. So, they all kind of chant at the same time. You were right. It isn't you. So we'll give you 2 more tries.
Enough.
Zoop like uncurls just to poke her head out at like the idea that she might be right, and then they're like just two more times. She's like, I hate this. It goes back down.
Do we recognize this species at all?
Go ahead and make. Let's see here, nature or history. I would say.
I actually have history. 16 or 18.
That's a 9.
Okay. Rob, Zoop, and Sibia.
For history.
18. I rolled 20.
I'm actually a historian, so.
I wrote.
Okay.
I wrote
both of my nature and my history are the same, so.
Okay. So also, Iggy might have been sleeping through one of the nature classes, but the rest of you do realize the common. Yeah. The rest of you do realize these appear to be mud mephits.
Mud mephits.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know what they eat?
I was like, oh, cool. We know what they are. Do we know what they eat?
How much attention were we paying in that class?
Creatures made of mud. Yeah. I mean, they're pretty mud obsessed. Maybe they eat mud pie. You know.
Is it maybe they pie? Eat catfish. I don't know. Catfish like mud.
So Rob, do you? Is that your answer, mud pie?
Is it mud pie?
That's it! That's our favorite food! Mud pie!
And they just kind of like all laugh and giggle like this was some sort of game, and they're like,
yay, mud pie! Mud pie!
And then they just like leap back into the water, and you watch as they're kind of swimming around you, but you can still kind of hear that they're giggling underneath the water.
Sabi is just going to make a few gestures, not rude ones, just some random gestures, and be like, I absolutely hate this. I hate this. I did not sign up for riddles. I think Zoop agrees. Riddles.
Zoop is just rocking back and forth, like curled up, knees to chest, just like, get me out of this, get me out of this.
Sabia's gonna try and comfort Zoop and, like, remind her that she's got Alfredo.
That was really unpleasant, yeah. Thanks, yeah, like, guys. You made our day.
Okay, so the Mephits kind of follow the raft for a little while. You can still hear they're giggling underneath the water as they're following you around. I'll need everyone to make a perception check.
Right, please, dice.
14. I'm tired of these low rolls.
13 for me.
26.
Ooh. Okay. Iggy and Sibia, out in the distance, a little bit kind of off the path that you had been traveling, you notice something. The marsh out in that area, it seems to be bubbling a little bit more often. So up ahead of you, you see a quite peculiar sight. A metallic rod hangs in the air about 40 feet, and then tied to it appears to be some sort of satchel or knapsack. And we'll go ahead and figure out what that is on next week's episode.
Ooh, damn Mephits.
They were great.
Look at my immediate reaction is to just step on things. Well, their hands were on the boat. I feel very justified in that action.
It was a terrible pun, though. A terrible pun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Adventure Academia. We will be back every 2 weeks with another episode. Please check in the description below for details on where to find our DM and players online. If you enjoy this show, please also check out the other shows for Beholder to No One, with discussions every Monday with the TTRPG community and one-shots on the opposite Thursdays. Please check out Beholder to No One on Twitter to see what other fun things the show is doing. And join our Discord if you're interested in talking to the party or just hanging out. See you then. Bye.